O Lord, make your word a swift word, passing from the ear to the heart, from the heart to the lip and conversation, that as the rain returns not empty, so neither may your word, but accomplish that for which it is given. Amen. Today, we are going to jump straight into the text so we can discover the history behind the Bible and how it affects secular history. And we're in Daniel chapter 5, and we'll begin with verses 1 to 4 in chapter 5. King Belshazzar made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in front of the 1,000. Belshazzar, when he had tasted the wine, commanded that the vessels of gold and of silver that Nebuchadnezzar his father had taken out of the temple in Jerusalem be brought, and that the kings and his lords, his wives and concubines might drink from them. Then they brought in the golden vessels that had been taken out of the temple, the house of God in Jerusalem. And the king and his lords, his wives and his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. I think it's important to provide some background information before we begin in chapter 5. This is one of the chapters that secular historians look at and have a problem with because they believe that there is no way humanly possible that a person that lived at this time could know the things that he knew at the time that he knew them and write them down because they had to do with future happenings. So, let me give you a little bit of information. Belshazzar, whose name literally means Bel, protect the king, which is a name of one of their gods, was the last of the kings of Babylon. He was King Nabonidus' son, who was the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar. Nabonidus married the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar, and so while he was still young, he had this great feast with thousands of his lords and ladies and concubines and wives and everything, and sent for the vessels that had been used in the temple in Jerusalem. Now, this should be a lesson to those who don't believe in God, that you never, ever mess around with God. He's thought to be the one that received the recompense for his actions. And we'll find this next week when we get to the conclusion of everything. But he got everything that he deserved. Whereas his grandfather, when he talked to Daniel, and Daniel gave him the prophecies of what was going to happen to him, he repented of his error. He realized the error of his ways. And as I referred to when last we met, he gave a praise to the Lord that most preachers would love to be able to give. But this was the king of the world, the king of Babylon, the most prestigious and most powerful man that ever lived on the face of the earth because his kingdoms were expansive. You know, Daniel lived to the honor of Yahweh and was greatly used by God, Yahweh, the one true God, to provide a signpost for all ages. Because Daniel and his three friends are an example of how to live in a culture that wants nothing at all to do with God. It wasn't that they went out and protested what was going on in Babylon, because that would have been an easy way to have their heads separated from their shoulders. But what they did with such excellence that there was no denying that someone had his hand on each one of them. And Daniel had the effect of being the most wise, the most gifted, the most influential of the advisors to the king, because everything he said was true. Amen. Now, the problem that we have in America today is that in the 21st century, we think that because there is a church on nearly every corner and Christian media all over the internet, the airwaves and radio, that we have influence. And that influence has never been greater. The fact of the matter is, the church, as the church, has never been more splintered, watered down, and compromised in their vision of Christianity than what is currently being put on display for consumers of the religious message. Because it's all about marketing these days. It's all about, we want to get our message out in the right way, so we don't want to offend anyone. We don't want to tell people the truth, so we'll couch it in such a way that they won't know that what we believe is contrary to what they're saying. For every theologically liberal congregation that currently exists, there is one that is theologically conservative that is engaging in what's known as scripture twisting, or the deception, by making the Bible say something that it really doesn't say. Amen. In order to accomplish some influence, popularity, motivational, or monetary purpose that does not have anything to do with bringing people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ or glory to the God the Father. This is why there are so many warnings about preachers and churches through the New Testament, so that individuals would be careful to compare what they were hearing to what the Bible actually says. By example, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 18 and 22 to 25. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever desires to do the will of Father of God abides forever. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that is the last hour. Amen. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you have heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us: eternal life. 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 to 4. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Yes. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Think about that. Consider how many preachers and how many pulpits this morning are preaching a message that they themselves don't really believe because they have discounted the reality of the supernatural. They don't want to think that there's a requirement that a person be supernaturally changed from the inside out by the Spirit of God in order to have salvation, but rather all that is necessary is the right combination of music, mood, and methodology to bring people running down the aisles in an emotional state where they can be manipulated to respond to a message by the mere suggestion of the speaker. That is not the spirit moving. That is the movement of psychology.
Amen.
So be careful who you listen to.
Amen.
Verses 5 to 9. Immediately, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace opposite the lampstand. And the king saw the hand as it wrote. Then the king's color changed and his thoughts alarmed him. His limbs gave way and his knees knocked together. The king called loudly to bring in the enchanters, the Chaldeans, the astrologers. The king declared to the wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this writing and shows me the interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then all the king's wise men came in, and they could not read the writing or make known to the king their interpretation. Then King Belshazzar was greatly alarmed, and his color changed, and his lords were perplexed. How many of you have heard the expression, "Well, the handwriting's on the wall"? This is where that comes from. Like a great number of the sayings that we use in the English language, its origination comes from the King James Version of the Bible. And this one is of particular importance because in the midst of their revelry, a hand was appearing out of nowhere and seen by the king to be tracing on the wall an announcement of God's judgment, which that night fell upon him. In the absence of the wisdom that his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar had, Belshazzar had forgotten the statements of the king that God, the God of the Hebrews, is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Again, we fail to appreciate the gravity of that statement, the weight of that statement, the immense power of that statement, King of Kings and Lords of Lords, because we live in a representative republic. We elect people to go and do the will of the people so we can have a republic that is representative of our desires, be it what we want or not. They're elected to do that, whether they carry it out or not. Well, these folks were under a king, and the king had the authority to do whatever the heck he wanted to do. If the king was mad at you one day and said, "I don't like the way you look at me," take him out and cut off his head. It would be done. There was no jurisprudence. You couldn't hire an attorney to try and get you off, because if the king was mad, He was mad, and it could be carried out at that moment. We look at things from our perspective, and we want to read into the past our own experience of today. Consider this. Belshazzar's grandfather, the great Nebuchadnezzar, conquered nations, took their plunder, built amazing structures like the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, and all his grandson was good for is being a party animal. You remember the movie from the 70s, Animal House? That's what Belshazzar was like. He would give parties and parties and parties and drink and drink and drink. And to what end? He had no interest in learning the lessons that you have to learn from the things of God. And how many of us are the same way? We have no interest in carrying out the sayings of God, the doings of God, the freedom from sin, and instead are captured by the ways of the world. You know, Jesus gave a warning to those who thought that they were wise in the ways of the world. In Luke 6, 39 to 42, he also told them a parable. Pay attention. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that is in your eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. How often do we want to point out the flaws, the faults, the doings of everybody else, but we don't want to deal with anything that we have an issue with? We want to step on everybody else's toes, but we don't want to have our toes stepped on. And if you understand anything at all about Jesus, the thing that he hated most in all the world was hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. Hypocrisy of the world is to be understood to divert your attention from the things of God. And so many people are taken in by it, they don't realize that they themselves are deaf, blind, and numb to their own loss. How are you going to do? Daniel chapter 5, verses 10 to 12. The queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banqueting hall. And the queen declared, "O king, live forever. Let not your thoughts alarm you or your color change. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. In the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom like the wisdom of the gods were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him the chief of the magicians, enchanters, Chaldeans, and astrologers, because an excellent spirit, knowledge, and understanding to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve problems were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation." how would you feel if those that had authority over you thought so highly of you that when you were nowhere near and there was an issue that needed to be solved, that they would tell other people of your reputation and your ability to make difficult things simple and hardships understandable? The queen mother, his grandmother, tells Belshazzar, there is a man you need to know. But before I tell you about that, I need for you to understand, going back to verse 6, there's a phrase that needs to be clarified for you. In verse 6 of chapter 5, where it says, his knees knocked together. I did a little word study there. And that phrase is more accurately translated, the knots of his joints were loosened. Now, what this really means is not that he became weak in the knees, but rather he lost control of his bowels. Now, you know that when you get extremely nervous and you start getting those butterflies, there comes a time when you just can't hold on any longer. And if you're not near the bathroom, you're going to wish you were near the bathroom. So the king made a mess in the hall in front of all his friends because he was so scared and so upset by what he saw the handwriting. Now, I wanted to clarify that for y'all so that you understood the depth of terror that was on his face. All the king's horses and all the king's men, all of his supporters, all of his boys were surrounding him by the thousands. His wives and his concubines were in this hall. And his grandmother, the queen, came and reminded him of what he should have already remembered. That his grandfather had been able to use the wisdom of Daniel to widen his own knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of the one God whom Daniel worshiped, and to come to an understanding that his reign was dependent on his reign and wasn't due to his own doing, but was done for him by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But not merely that, but his grandfather had elevated Daniel to the highest rank over all the other enchanters, all the other magicians, all the other Chaldeans, all the astrologers of the entire kingdom because of his excellent wisdom and ability to untie the knot of the king's problem, so to speak. Like that knot he had in his belly. We need to understand that regardless of the difficulty, regardless of the hardship, regardless of the observation of the world around us, the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Amen, amen. It is he who tells us by the prophet Isaiah in chapter 45, verses 5 to 23, this truth. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I equip you, though you do not know me, that people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. Shower, O heavens, from above, and let the clouds rain down righteousness. Let the earth open that salvation and righteousness may bear fruit. Let the earth cause them both to sprout. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe to him who strives with him who formed him, a pot among earthen pots. Does the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or your work has no handles? Woe to him who says to a father, what are you begetting? Or to a woman, with what are you in labor? Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and the one who formed him, ask me of things to come. Will you command me concerning my children and the work of my hands? I made the earth, created man on it. It was my hands that stretched out the heavens, and I commanded all their hosts. I have stirred him up in righteousness and will make all his ways level. He shall build my city and set my exiles free, not for price or reward, says the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord, the wealth of Egypt and the merchandise of Cush and the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over to you and be yours. They shall follow you. They shall come over in chains and bow to you. They will plead with you, saying, surely God is in you, and there is no other, no God besides him. Truly, you are a God who hides himself, O God of Israel, the Savior. All of them are put to shame and confounded. The makers of idols go in confusion together. But Israel is saved by the Lord with everlasting salvation. You shall not be put to shame or confounded to all eternity. For thus says the Lord who created the heavens. He is God, who formed the earth and made it. He established it. He did not create it empty. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord. There is no other. I did not speak in secret in a land of darkness. I did not say to the offspring of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, you survivors of the nations. They have no knowledge who carry about their wooden idols and keep on praying to a God that cannot save. Declare and present your case. Let them take counsel together. Who told this long ago? Who declared it of old? Was it not I, the Lord? And there is no God besides me, a righteous God and Savior. There is none beside me.
Amen.
Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, there is no other. By myself I have sworn. From my mouth has gone out in righteousness a word that shall not return. To me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear allegiance. The true and living God in this world contrasts himself to the gods of this world who have from ancient times up to today have need of people to carry them around. They have need of people to give them offerings. But God himself needs nothing. He needs no one. He puts his imperatives in our place for laws that cause us to do what he wants us to do in our desire to please him, not because he needs us. Remember, if we fail to praise him, the rocks will cry out.
Amen.
And in the last days, those that fail to acknowledge him will ask the mountains to fall upon them so that they hope that they can hide from the wrath that is to come.
Amen.
Because the Lord God omnipotent reigns.
Amen.
Choose you this day whom you will serve. Because in the words of that great 20th century poet, Bob Dylan, you got to serve somebody. You got to serve somebody. It might be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you got to serve. You got to serve somebody.
Yes. Thank the Lord for the truth proclaimed in the pulpit. Thank the Lord. Ask you to stand and join with us. To remind you, the altars are open.